Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory faint, the breeze.
Because there's been a major funeral in San Francisco, and it's got everything disrupted, so we'll just do a half hour today, but we will have the best of the week. Interesting birthdays today. We had the first physician in chief, or what is called now, the position is called Surgeon General of the Army, John Morgan. He was born today, and he was also America's first professor of medicine. He was the physician-in-chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, and along with Benjamin Franklin, he later, they co-founded the Medical College of the University of Pennsylvania. And so Dr. John Morgan, who was Welsh extraction, became America's first professor of medicine. And then the other interesting events today, we had King Alexander I of Serbia and his Queen Draga. They were assassinated in 1903. Now, this is very interesting. All we ever hear about, besides what's been going on in the Balkans and the former Yugoslavia, all we ever hear about is, besides the Croatian, Bosnia, Herzegovina, all these conflicts, we hear about World War I starting with the assassination of the Austrian Archduke Ferdinand and his wife Sophie. But before that, the King of Serbia and his wife, Queen Draga, was assassinated in 1903. And it's very interesting. This guy came to the throne at the age of 16, was supposed to be crowned king at 18, and he decided to jump 2 years ahead of time, and at 16 he became king, or he made himself king. He later married a woman who apparently had her own political ambitions for her brothers, this woman named Draga. He suspended a liberal constitution, or revoked it. Got a lot of people upset at him, his army and the politicians, and eventually a group called the Black Legion, which was later implicated in the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and his wife, about, that was in 1915, They assassinated this terrorist group assassinated King Alexander of Serbia and his queen in the early morning on this date, June 10th, June 11th, 1903. They mutilated and disemboweled the bodies, and pretty gruesome. So that's part of the very bloody history of the Balkans. We also had among the other things that happened today, the invention of mustard. A woman named you hear about Grey Poupon and that famous ad. Guy pulls up in a Rolls Royce and said, "Rolls the rider rolls down the back window or the electric lowers it." And he says, "Sir, do you have any Grey Poupon?" Well, that's a great ad, and it was started by one of the great ad men in advertising. I forgot his name. Anyway, Grey Poupon was started back around the 16th, 17th century in France by two guys actually named Mr. Grey and Mr. Poupon. And the reason that Dijon mustard is called Dijon mustard is because it's made in the Dijon region of France, and they use their grapes, which is green liquid before the wine ferments, and they sometimes use honey and vinegar. Then the more bland, or shall I say tart mustard that we have today, the Heinz or the French's, is a different type of mustard that's produced over here in the States. Now, would you believe it? The Irish have a mustard, and guess what's in it? Irish whiskey. It's mustard seed, vinegar, honey, and Irish whiskey. Or not vinegar, but honey and Irish whiskey. So I haven't tasted it. It should have quite a kick. The other thing that happened today, Benjamin Franklin, back to Benny, had his kite, was flying his kite, "Go fly a kite, Benny," and it was struck by lightning. So apparently he discovered electricity, or the force of lightning. Also today, the first employee of the Social Security system started by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Wilbur Cohen, he was hired today, and he recently died. And then Louis L'Amour, who wrote all those romanticized Western novels, he died today. I forgot where he died. Excuse me, got this bloody cold still. Strange weather in this country. I would recommend that you check out Drew Rains' News and Views. He's got a lot of stuff. That, incidentally, we predict that there's going to be more people outed in the Wienergate scandal. A lot of people are asking questions. How is it this guy marries a woman who claims to be a Muslim and she doesn't wear a chador? No, and she gets married with her sleeves, and a Muslim marrying a Jew? This just doesn't happen. A lot of questions. And then Mr. Wiener apparently lives in Queens, and his wife lives in a condo in Washington, D.C. Very strange. I guess that's what you call bicoastal we used to call it bicoastal marriages. Wiener and his two cats, and there's other questions about this sex tweeting, and I think it's going to, let's just say the political cognoscenti thinks it's going to spread, and we're also people are going to realize that there are such a thing as lesbians in politics. It wasn't only Roberta Achtenberg, who was appointed Undersecretary of HUD during the Bill Clinton administration. Today, we're going to play the best of the weekend. We have that interview with General Berrigan, who was the chief of construction at Normandy. He had also worked. He was a military engineer who was signed into the Army at 17 and a half, just like Steve Mary. And we'll do his bio later, because he also built the American side of the St. Lawrence Seaway, which had its anniversary this month. And the Canadians built their side, and it was quite an engineering feat because it allowed ocean-going ships to come in from Canada, through the port of Montreal, right into the Great Lakes. And of course, I asked him about the ships bringing in these strange organisms, and he didn't know about that. But of course, he's you know, the Army Corps of Engineers, they've been around a very long time. There's a famous case, General Gradiot, G-R-A-I-O-T, that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll get into that another day. But anyway, well, let's play that interview, replay the interview with General Berrigan regarding what he did at Normandy and who he knew. General Eisenhower, you knew Patton, all of those guys.
Good to know Eisenhower. Were you posted in England during the war?
No. Just in World War II.
I served in the Portland, Oregon district, and the colonel I had served in there was Eisenhower's choice for his chief engineer, and he chose me to be the chief of construction because he knew what I could do from the fact that I served with him in the Portland, and he needed things for putting his government corners and things like that, and even war different engineering.
Now, those mulberries, I think they call them, was that a British invention or was that American? Those landing, they were like flat things to land on the beach.
I think that name came from the British.
Now, during war, do you do any engineering for, like, the troops, like any sanitation, or is that done by the veterinarian?
Oh, no, the Corps of Engineers have districts and divisions all over the country. Mm-hmm. Like they got a district and a division in San Francisco, and the division covers districts that Sacramento and Los Angeles and San Francisco, and they have a division in Portland that covers districts in Walla Walla and Seattle.
Now, in the liberated areas of Europe, did the Army Corps of Engineers come behind and rebuild the facilities, the sanitation sewers that were destroyed, or was that left to civilian authorities?
If it was for troops, we were the ones that built them. In other words, we built big installations for divisions in California. They have divisions in headquarters in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle.
They were the whole West Coast.
Well, Portland and Seattle were under one place, and San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego were in a division that was covered California.
After the war, what did you do? World War II, I mean.
I can remember.
Well, you were still on active service.
Oh, I was still in active service. Gee, it's so long, I can't remember.
Okay. Or the Korean War, or St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah. Well, I was in Chicago. I'd come to San Francisco, and with foreign countries during World War II, England and France, Belgium, in other words, weren't we. I was in state, there was a chief engineer, but I was chief of construction. I was the one that dealt with the British as to the geography and the construction for the divisions that were going to land in France and over England. And of course, I worked for the, then we went to France. I dealt with the French and France and Belgium, where we put divisions and troops for the invasion into Germany.
When the Germans retreated back to Germany, did they destroy sanitary facilities like sewer facilities, sanitation, that sort of thing?
No, no, I don't think they destroyed any. There just weren't any for the size of the units we were placing. In other words, when you build a division camp, you put in the plumbing.
Okay. That's prosaic.
We'll do a part two of the interview with General Berrigan. This was done in the late 80s here in San Francisco. He lived in North Beach. It's a fascinating story about the woman he married and about a bar of soap, the soap magnate that built the house on Telegraph Hill here in San Francisco. Here's some other interesting births on this day. We had Prince Philip was born today. Now, this is interesting. Prince Philip, his mother, later became a Greek Orthodox nun, and when he was married, she shows up in a gray nun outfit. Philip is actually German-Greek. What happened was Victoria had so many kids that she was populating the royal houses of Europe. One of her daughters was the Empress of Russia. We had our granddaughters. Empress of Germany, or Prussia. The Greek king was of Queen Victoria's line, and the Duke, husband, her consort, who died early after fathering all these kids. So they got around, and Prince Philip was from, he was a naval officer in World War II. He was from the poor wing of that family, and his uncle was Lord Louis Mountbatten. Now, Mountbatten was not the original name, it was Battenberg, and his father was the first lord of the Admiralty, the British, for our Chief of Naval Operations, CNO, their opposite number would be First Lord of the Admiralty. And because of the anti-German feeling in England at the time of World War One, even though they had these strong ties to the Germans, seeing that Queen Victoria's husband was German from Coburg, they decided to anglicize their name and change it from Battenberg to Mountbatten. Now, and then, of course, Queen Elizabeth, her father was George the VI, Duke of York. They changed their name to Windsor. So actually, they're very German. Now, also among the other birthdays today is Saul Bellow, the great writer. Judy Garland, who is a gay icon. Her name was actually, her real name was Frances Grumm, G-R-U-M-M. I guess Garland sounds more appealing than Grumm. Robert Maxwell was Jewish, Czech. He served in, the British Secret Service or Special Forces in World War II. He died mysteriously. I think he drowned. He started bought the New York Daily Post newspaper. We have another New York author, Nate Hentoff. He was born today. And then one of the most controversial lawyers in U.S. history, F. Lee Bailey. You remember him from the Lieutenant Kelly, Captain Medina, My Lai Massacre, the Dr. Samuel Shepard accused murderer in Ohio, a very controversial case of the osteopath who's accused of brutally murdering his wife. The newspapers railroaded Shepard into jail. Now, he is not related, as far as we know, to this Shepard kid up in Wyoming, short-sleeved link of that family, or short-tail link, as they say. Nightshirt, I believe, is the term. And then we had, who else was born today? Deaths today. Of course, we had King Alexander of Serbia and his wife, Queen Draga. We had Marcus Garvey. Now, he was a black nationalist. He died during World War II in London. Then we had this guy, Rainer Fassbinder, who was a gay German film director, one of the New Wave, and he died of a drug overdose. Then we had Louis L'Amour, the guy who wrote these romanticized Western novels. And then over the course of the events today, we already talked about the mustard. In 1610, the Dutch came from apparently New Jersey and settled in Manhattan on this date. And then, of course, we talked about Ben Franklin. And, of course, this is relevant to today. In 1801, Tripoli, which is present-day North Africa, Libya, Tunisia, they declared war on the United States during the Jefferson administration because the United States would not pay tribute to the Tripolitan pirates. There's a famous movie with, I think, John Payne, To the Shores of Tripoli, and, of course, that line in the U.S. Marine hymn, From the Halls of Montezuma to the Shores of Tripoli. That's where that comes from. That's the origin of that. And then we had the guy who invented Robert Thompson, who got a British patent on rubber tires. Now, vulcanization of tires was a patent given to Charles Goodyear here in the United States, and Goodyear Rubber, this company came out of that origin of that invention of the vulcanized rubber here in the United States. And in 1898, the United States Marines landed in Cuba, and I think one of the Marines was Drew Raines' great uncle, General Smedley Butler, who said, "War is a racket." He also served in the Boxer Revolution, I think, the United States Marine Detachment, and in Nicaragua. And there's a famous book. He's the one that prevented the takeover of the U.S. presidency. We'll get into that another day when that date comes up. And then for all these people who have a drinking problem, Alcoholics Anonymous was started today in Akron, Ohio. I don't know why there. Akron's known for its rubber. I think Goodyear and Goodrich are located there or were. They haven't been shipped overseas. Dr. Robert Smith and a guy named William Wilson started Alcoholics Anonymous. It's been very successful for a lot of people. Then FDR in 1943 signed the W-2 withholding tax law, where money is taken out of your check before you even see it or sign it or get to sign it. Then in 1975, the Rockefeller panel accused the CIA, its Central Intelligence Agency, of having over 300,000 files, illegal files, on Americans. And then in 1977, James L. Ray, the accused killer or assassin of Martin Luther King, he escaped from prison. And some people think that he may have been assisted in this escape. But he was later recaptured, and he always said, proclaimed his innocence, that he did not assassinate Martin Luther King. But that's one of those, and he's dead now, and that's one of those things that will never be resolved. Just like, were there two gunmen at Dealey Plaza in Texas when in Dallas on that fateful day, November 22nd, 1963. I was working at the time. I was going to school, and I remember coming into the office, and someone said, "President Kennedy's being shot," and we all said, "Nah, you're joking." He said, no, listen to the radio." And we listened to Walter Cronkite. And so I remember LBJ gave a public proclamation that there was to be a day of mourning, and all government employees were given the day off with pay and were expected to tune in to the funeral memorials ceremonies, or the funeral ceremonies, I guess that'd be the best way to describe it. Excuse me. So, and then now getting back to Mr. Wiener, there's a lot of strange things about him, but a question some people are asking, how did he vote on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? He seemed to embrace that in a manner of speaking when the newspaper questioned him and tried to persuade him to give a straight answer, no pun intended on that. But I'll bet you he voted against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and so some people were saying he ought to be the poster boy for that, seeing that he in effect adopted that when he was caught sex texting. I discovered that word today. We suspect, as I said, there'll be other people who are going to be forced out. I think people are getting tired of this sexcapades of our federal officials, and there's even a couple of judges that we know about that got caught abusing, sexually harassing courtroom personnel. And then we're doing our new format. We're trying to make this more tightly focused, where we will have our more on political facts, frauds, and fictions. Of course, one of my favorites is that Elliot Ness did not bring down Al Capone. It was the publisher of the Chicago Tribune, was not Jewish, who knew President Hoover, and he asked him to send in a squad to investigate and try to indict and prosecute Al Capone. And he's also has one of the, he's dead now, publisher of the Tribune, Colonel Robert McCormick. Is he was related to Joseph Medill, a Canadian immigrant, legal immigrant, who came to Nova Scotia to start a newspaper business in Chicago. And even today, or at one time, the Chicago Tribune was getting their newsprint from Canadian paper mills. But Colonel McCormick, and he liked to be called the Colonel because he was one in World War One, and he fought at the Battle of Cotigny in France, and later, William Randolph Hearst, I forgot to ask this question, got the idea of setting up a museum on his estate. And if you ever go to Illinois, and I recommend go out to the western suburbs to visit the Colonel McCormick's Museum of all the World War One memorabilia. And him and Hearst at Hearst Castle, San Simeon, are the only two newspaper magnates who donated their part of their estate, because part of the Hearst estate in San Simeon, a large part of it still remains in the Hearst family possession and occupancy. Some of them quietly go out there. And it's a huge spread. I think it's 250,000 acres. We were just there. I'd never seen it before. And it's everything and then some. The guy had incredible taste and incredible expenses. But Colonel McCormick had set up this estate the western suburbs of Chicago. And it's something to see, and I would recommend if you visit Chicago, try to include that on your visit. We also have one here in San Francisco, much, much smaller, and I will be putting up our video excerpts of the military museum we have here in San Francisco, in which Charles de Gaulle visited when he was here during the mayoral term of San Francisco's best mayor, one of the best mayors in the history of California, George Christopher, the late George Christopher. A former U.S. attorney, Stephen Gruhl, not U.S., but assistant U.S. attorney in the Northern District of Illinois, Northern District of California, excuse me, although he did work, he told me he worked in the Seventh Circuit, which is in Chicago, and that's it used to be the old post office building and federal offices where I worked as a student in the 60s, and you can go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. Some people have questioned my use of that term. The proper Latin, and for the purists, and I admit I took a liberty, is Amicus Veritatus, but it wouldn't be very musical, and we do have a newspaper publication, which is where I took the name from, Veritas. So I decided to do a cryptic one, Friend Truth, or Friend and Truth. I think I can get away with that. But he has filed a habeas corpus in the Ninth Circuit District Court with Judge Charles Breyer, who is the younger brother of Supreme Court Justice, Associate Justice Stephen Breyer. So we'll see what happens on that. We'll keep you posted. And we'll be back Monday. And let's end with our favorite theme, which is... It resonates so much today with people like Anthony Weiner, although he isn't he's playing politics, but he's playing something other than poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a kick.
are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Yes, we're going to pick more than a candidate thing. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening. This will stay up on the internet. And I think you can download it on iPod. And we'll be back Monday with more. Good night.